And call to order the regular meeting. This is a public hearing of the Cochise, of the governing board of the Cochise County Community College District. Oh, I got the wrong sheet. Excuse me. I apologize. Here we go. Pledge of Allegiance. Please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you all. That brings us to 1.03, adoption of tonight's agenda. Dr. Perry, the agenda stand is published.
Mr. Chair, pursuant to Arizona Revised Statute 38-431.02, the agenda has been properly advertised. However, the administration would like to modify the agenda and replace agenda item 2.02 placeholder graduation technician. The administration is requesting that the governing board adopt a motion to approve the hiring of Ms. Vivian Lambert Knight. Mr. Chair, there are no further modifications. The board may take action.
Any motion for
approval? Second. Second. Any discussion? Motion carries. 1.04, citizens in person interim. Ms. Wheeler, did anybody sign up to speak to the board this evening?
There are no requests to address the board.
Thank you, ma'am. 1.05, standing reports. And as of today's meeting, there will not be a report for ACCT or the Senate or the Student Government Association based on June. .05.4, College President's Report, Dr. Perry.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the board. As we begin the summer session at Cochise College, we remain actively engaged in serving our students through summer coursework, workforce training, as well as clinical experiences and community partnerships across the district. It's also an important time for us really to take a step back, breathe a little bit, and start planning for the next phase of the academic year. So know that there's a lot of things that are taking place right now and happening throughout the college. On the legislative update, so the Arizona legislature has recently returned back in session as budget negotiations continue between the governor and the legislature. In fact, rumors have it that by the end of this week or sometime within the next couple of days, we could expect a budget agreement. However, there are some details that are still continuing to evolve, including negotiations that focus on resolving some issues with K-12 funding, as well as some of the data centers and the taxes kind of evolving around that. All indications show that at least what I'm hearing is there's big support to reinstate any kind of rural funding that may have been put out there for cuts. So we're keeping our fingers crossed right now, and we'll make sure that the board is kept abreast on when that happens. But like I said, the good news is we expect something as early as this week. On the federal level, that's kind of a little different story. The House Appropriations Committee, you know that I've mentioned before, the administration has dropped their budget for FY27, which included quite a few cuts to higher education. The House Appropriations Committee has released their FY2027 Labor, Health, Human Services, and Education Spending Bill. I'd like to provide a few highlights of that. There are some good news in there, including an increase in Pell Grants, strengthening community college training grants, registered apprenticeships, and an increase in Perkins Career and Technical Education to the tune of about $8 million. And also an increase in both TRIO and Gear Up. Areas of concern that still worry not only us here at Cochise College, but community colleges across the United States include adult education. It's proposed to be eliminated through the House's Appropriations Committee. A reduction of federal work study of about 26%, as well as a big reduction in proposed WIOA funds or Arizona at Work funds, which we are able to leverage and use to provide training to many of our students. So that could have a detrimental effect as well. It's important to understand that now what happens is the bill must advance through the full House appropriations process before being considered by the House as a whole. At the same time, although they haven't started yet, you'll have the Senate start to work on their bills. A lot of times what we see is that's where money gets put back in. The Senate usually tends to be a little bit more bipartisan in some of these things. So we'll continue our advocacy at the college level, state level, and of course, ACCT and AACC will be doing their advocacy at the national level as well. I mean, you saw it today as well, where you had Juan Ciscomani's representative here for a ceremony. We had to recognize Krista Wheeler as she retires. We've got people swinging for us at the highest levels in the legislature. So we'll keep our fingers crossed and keep you abreast of that as well. Moving to facilities update. Facilities planning improvement efforts continue across the district. I'd like to thank Jim Barrows and his team for all the work that they do. One of them is the City of Douglas Well Project has reached a significant milestone with the installation of surface casing. Drilling equipment and materials have been staged, and drilling operations are expected to begin this week if they haven't already. Project remains an important component of our long-term infrastructure strategy, and I believe it's supposed to be anticipated to be done in spring of 2028. Building 400 renovation continues to progress. Roofing work was delayed a bit, but should be done by the end of June. And then, of course, interior construction will begin as soon as that roof is completed. We expect that to be done in early July. I'm sorry, yeah, in early July, and then completed by late July. Building 900 roof replacement, preparations for the roof replacement have been completed. Materials and equipment are now on site. In fact, the installation is beginning right now. I was out there yesterday. We've got all sorts of people walking on that roof out there. We expect the completion of that sometime at the end of September. Huachuca Hall apartment renovation continues with the demolition and abatement activities are now complete. They're working on infrastructure improvements, including replacement of underslab sanitary lines. Reconstruction is expected to begin kind of mid-June with the project completed during the fall semester. Sierra Vista campus, the 2600 building, which is the campus service building, we continue to remodel some offices and conference room space. That will continue, but our facilities thinks that that'll be kind of wrapped up by the end of June. Shifting now to some of the initiatives, I'd like to share just a few examples of what's happening out there. Really proud of the work that continues in the academic areas and in the workforce areas. So, of course, you're aware that on May 15th, the same day as our commencement, we received official reaffirmation of our accreditation. I'd like to again to thank Dr. Brown, all the people that worked on our accreditation efforts. It was a huge lift by everybody, but super proud of all that work that took place, and we ought to be proud of each other and what we've able to accomplish. Cochise has entered into two proposed agreements with Arizona Electric Power Cooperative, IPCO, to support workforce development initiatives in the regional energy sector. EPCO has committed to providing $100,000 annually for 10 years, totaling $1 million to support scholarships for students pursuing trade-related coursework and certifications aligned with careers in the energy industry and skilled trades. The program will include collaboration with the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers and is contingent, of course, upon federal approval of funding, but we're super excited about that. The second one is, and we've talked about this before, is Dean Molina working on the pre-apprenticeship program as well. So APCO is also committed to supporting the development of that IBEW-affiliated pre-apprenticeship program here at Cochise. The agreement will provide an initial $50,000 startup investment, followed by $20,000 annually for 5 years, representing a total investment of $150,000. And this is really to set up that pre-apprenticeship, right? I know that he's already been working on some of the curriculum, although has it gone through the curriculum process yet? Not yet. But on paper, we've been working on that curriculum process. Now it's really starting to put it in place so that they can take some classes with us as a roll into a pre-apprenticeship program with the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers in Energy. Okay. On June 16th, Cochise College will have the privilege of formally recognizing the extraordinary generosity and lasting impact of Anne Marie Stevens by naming the Science Building on the Douglas campus in her honor, and that will begin at 9 a.m. Just to reiterate, her gift is $250,000 annually out of her Fidelity account. Once she passes away, that account then goes to the Arizona Community Foundation to then distribute the additional $250,000 per year in perpetuity out of that account for viticulture education here at Cochise College. So we're super excited about that and thank Anne Marie and her executors for all their work in that. Cochise College will begin preparations for its next strategic planning cycle. You have a presentation on that a little bit later in the agenda. From the workforce side, Cochise College will host the Western States Sheriff's Association Leadership Academy, June 22nd through 26th. This is an executive level leadership program, which will bring over 20 law enforcement leaders representing 9 different Western states. Hosting the academy continues to reflect our commitment not only to our partnership with our Sheriff's Association here, but realizing what a good thing that we have here. He's been a huge proponent of what we're doing, and he's really helped us branch out. So this is envisioning creating the next generation of sheriffs. So it's specific to that leadership training to help prepare people that are coming up to be good sheriffs in their counties. On June 1st, Cochise College launched its annual summer camp program. This year's offerings include 15 camps serving over 250 students across a variety of academic, technical, and enrichment areas, including our partnering with the Arizona Cyber Initiative to host a cyber boot camp for 20 students. These programs, I think, help support the mission and what we do, not only to spark that interest in young kids who may be interested in pursuing a career, but making them aware that Cochise College is a place where they need to start or even finish those, okay? We are also holding a Nursing Allied Health Career Camp along with Fire Science in Douglas this week at the Douglas Fire Station. And then lastly, from Dean Hill, we anticipate having 14 paramedic graduates on July 23rd. This is the largest graduating cohort in at least 8 years. So congratulations to her, the faculty, and all the team. That's phenomenal. We hope that we can have classes that size ongoing. Lastly, on May 15th, the college celebrated another successful commencement. We were able to award 1,191 associate's degrees, 25 bachelor's degrees, and more than 800 certificates. I'd like to personally thank Jen Wants, her team, and everybody, our Cochise College team, for a great commencement. There is so much work that goes into that, including facilities and all the work that they did, but it was a huge success. And, you know, we've often mentioned that that's when we get paid, and for sure it was a wonderful event, and I want to thank everybody. General comments. Let's see. So on May 13th and 14th, we hosted provost candidate interviews. We had a successful search, and we've hired Dr. Brown as the next provost here, Cochise College. May 13th was the adult education recognition ceremony. May 14th, we, of course, had the nurses pinning. May 15th was the president's reception and commencement. May 20th and 21st, I attended the AC4 meeting up in Phoenix. May 25th was a holiday, the Memorial Day. College was closed. May 28th, we had the police academy graduation at 2 p.m. May 28th, I was on annual leave. Thank you, Dr. Davis, for covering. June 3rd, we had a foundation meeting. June 4th, I was able to meet with Margaret Hepburn and the Legacy Foundation. We have a wonderful relationship with them, and it continues to grow. That meeting was about really, as they've created a new event center, is allowing them overflow parking at our downtown center, as long as there's communication and we have an agreement in place. And then June 9th, myself and Dr. Davis met with Greg Volker, who is the city manager for the city of Benson. They're looking for an area to build a new fire station and was inquiring about some land that we have near the Benson Center. We'll continue to have conversations. I don't think that's the best option for Benson, and they do have some other options, but we'll continue to work with them on opportunities we have for training and some other things. Upcoming activities, June 11th, we've got the ACCLA, which is the Arizona Community College Leadership Academy graduation in Phoenix. We have two individuals that will graduate from that, and that's kind of a leadership training through AC4 as well as the Aspen group, and that is Quint Molina and Kara Elkins. They'll both graduate on Thursday. June 16th, like I mentioned, we've got the ribbon cutting at the Douglas Campus Science Building renaming. June 15th through the 20th, College National Finals Rodeo. Dr. Davis will be attending to cheer on our five college athletes that will compete. It's probably televised somewhere as well.
I'm guessing so.
Yeah.
At least the finals will be.
So we need to look for if we can find. Well, we're expecting all five to get to the finals.
Hope so.
Keep our fingers crossed there. June 17th through the 22nd, I'll be on annual leave in California. June 18th, the college is closed for observance of Juneteenth. June 24th through July 6th, I'll be in annual leave again. July 8th, we've got the Sheriff's Assist Team Award lunching at 11 a.m. July 14th, we've got our board meeting, which will be Zoom only and will be only consent agenda items. July 17th through July 21st, I'll be attending the Mountain States Annual Conference in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho this year. August 10th, we'll have convocation in Douglas all day. And then August 11th will be the next board meeting at the Benson Center. Mr. Chair, members of the board, that concludes my report. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have. All right.
Thank you, Dr. 5.5 is a monthly financial report for May 2026. That was in our packet. Do we have any questions on that report?
No.
Okay. 1.05.6, it was a monthly academic progress report. That report is also in our packet. Do we have any questions on that one?
No.
Okay. Moving on to new business is our consent agenda. I need a motion to approve our consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Moved second. Any other discussion?
Aye. Oh, motion carries.
Please.
We do.
To introduce.
Okay, come on down.
You've got a good backup. Don't worry about it.
Mr. Chair and Governing Board members, thank you. I'm happy to be introducing a few of our newest employees. I'm going to start with Maddie Austin. She is our Administrative Building Assistant. She just started last week. Amazing. She has a Bachelor of Arts in Hospitality Business from Eli Broad College of Business at Michigan State University. When asked, what do you perceive as the most important thing as a member of the Cochise family? She said, being collaborative, authentic, and passionate about learning. She has many hobbies, including NFL, although she's a Detroit Lions fan.
Are there any of those left?
So we look forward to having her on our team. Welcome. Next to her, we have Kaya Mullins. Many of you have met Kaya. She is our executive assistant to the president and governing board and is trying to fill some big shoes left by our retiring Crystal Wheeler. So get to her sheet and print these out. Save the paper. Whoops. Kaya has a Master's of Arts in Emergency Management and Homeland Security. That will come in handy for her position here at the college.
Mm-hmm. Emergencies for sure.
She got the degree from Arizona State University. When asked what she perceives as the most important part of being part of our Cochise family, she said, supporting a mission through collaboration, respect, service, and service to our students, staff, faculty, and the community. She hopes to make a positive impact by providing steady, proactive support to the president's office, strengthening communication, and building strong relationships across the district. And finally, Dr. Mike Gasper is our newest Assistant Dean of Business, Career, and Technical Education. He just completed his doctoral degree from Murray State University in P20 and Community Leadership. When asked how he plans to make a positive impact at the college, my goal is to use my experience to help build clear pathways that maximize student opportunities for workforce and post-secondary attainment. So welcome to our three of our newest employees. Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you. Dr. Perry, 2.02, we're going to hire somebody here.
We are. So the administration is requesting that the governing board adopt a motion to approve the hiring of the administration's recommended candidate.
Move and second. Any further discussion? Nope. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Dr. Perry. 2.03, Sierra Vista Campus Student Union Roof Restoration Project. Administration is requesting governing board adopt a motion to accept the proposal from Garland/DBS, Inc. to restore the Sierra Vista Campus Student Roof at a price of $380,097. Dr. Perry?
Yes, Mr. Chair. The Sierra Vista Campus Student Union flat roofs were installed in 2009 and utilized a TPO roofing system. While a TPO is a cost-effective roofing material, prolonged exposure to heat and UV radiation has resulted in localized deterioration, including some seam failures, shrinkage, and of course, cracking. Although TPO roofs typically have a lifespan of about 20 to 25 years, the current condition indicates that restoration is the most appropriate course of action at this point in time, while the roof remains structurally sound. So the infrared moisture survey was completed at a cost of a little over or close to $9,000. Based on the assessment, Garland, as you mentioned, it provided a proposal through the Master Intergovernmental Cooperative Purchasing Agreement to restore the roof using a silicone coating system for $371,148. The proposal includes a 5-year contractor workmanship warranty, 10-year manufacturer warranty, and additional 2-year installer warranty. If approved, the work will begin It would be scheduled to start June 16th, 2026, with an estimated completion time of approximately 2 weeks. Again, it's really important that as we look at deferred maintenance and things that we can do now that we're kind of jumping on those things, if we're able to at all. The funding will be provided through deferred maintenance and fund balance. If we have any questions, we've got Dr. Davis and Mr. Burroughs here to answer those.
So moved. Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. 2.04, appointment of chief fiscal officer.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Arizona Revised Statutes 41-1279.07, Section E, each political subdivision shall provide the Auditor General by July 31st each year the name of the chief fiscal officer designated by the governing board of the political subdivision to submit the current fiscal year's expenditure limitation report. Political subdivision shall notify the Auditor General of any changes of individuals designated to file the required reports. The designated chief fiscal officer shall certify to the accuracy of the annual expenditure limitation report. The administration is asking to approve a motion to designate Dr. Wendy Davis, Executive Vice President for Administration, as Cochise County Community College District's Chief Fiscal Officer.
So moved.
Second. Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Congratulations again. 2.05 is a government board policy 213, conflict of interest, second read.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the board. Board policies require a first reading followed by a second and a final reading for approval. In May 2026, governing policy 213, conflict of interest, was presented for first reading with no changes made. This policy is now presented for second reading and final approval. The administration is recommending that the board adopt a motion to approve board policy 213, conflict of interest, as presented.
Very well. Need a motion to approve?
So moved. Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? No. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. 3.01, Dr. Perry.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the board. The college received the following communications for the June meeting. Dean Scarborough received an email from the Governor's Workforce Arizona Council recognizing Cochise College LPN Professional Nurse AAS, Nursing AAS, Practical Nursing Certification, and Nursing Assistant CNA Certificate programs as a 2026 Arizona High Impact Training Program. This designation recognizes the college's program for achieving outcomes that exceed expectations for the Workforce Innovation and Opportunities Act, Title I-B Adult Participant Success and Career Placement, as measured by the 2025 evaluation conducted by the Arizona Office of Economic Opportunity. This is huge. What this means is, and I mentioned before, our strong partnership with WIOA and Arizona at Work is that those that have utilized those fundings through our programs are completing, they're getting jobs, and they're being employed. All those programs are helping students not only stay in Cochise County, but if needed, sometimes to find jobs within Arizona and make better lives. So congratulations to Beth and all her team in nursing and allied health. In fact, Beth and Cullen right now, the luncheon is in the next 2 days. I don't know if it was today or tomorrow, but they're down there to accept that award by the Arizona Office of Economic Opportunity. And we couldn't be more proud of the work that they do. So congratulations.
Another example of why Cochise College is the best college in Arizona.
And if Jane Strain was here, she'd say the universe.
Yes, sir.
But you're right. Thank you. In addition, as I mentioned before, we have received our formal notification from the Higher Learning Commission on our reaccreditation. So again, thank you to all those, all that work that went into there. Mr. Chair, that's all I have.
3.02, Strategic Wellness and Management Report 1.
Chair Hudgens, governing board members, Dr. Perry, guests, good afternoon. My name is Lauren Gladwell. I currently serve the college as the Director of Student Success and the Title IX Coordinator. Today, I'd like to provide an update on the Strategic Wellness Initiative and the work that has taken place over these last 4 years to strengthen student wellness, remove barriers to success, and create a culture of care across Cochise College. This initiative is one of four that was derived from a think tank in 2021. The principle behind this initiative is the idea that students are more likely to persist, complete, and achieve their educational goals when their basic needs, mental health, and overall well-being are being supported. The work has been highly collaborative and would not have been possible without the support of campus leadership, faculty, staff, and of course, our community partners. One of our primary goals with this initiative has been to expand access to wellness and mental health resources. Over the past four academic years, we have built partnerships with counseling services on both campuses, resulting in more than 838 counseling appointments for our students. We also introduced virtual mental health resources through both the Meta app and now the Better Mind web application, increasing accessibility for students who either don't want to meet with a counselor in person or can't for whatever reason. In partnership with Chiricahua Community Health Centers, we've established Wellness Wednesdays, providing students with free screenings, vaccinations, and assistance accessing community benefits. I should note there that we had to pause those this year due to staffing issues with Chiricahua, but they continue to work well with us at other events. We hope to be able to continue those again soon. We have also strengthened our response to students experiencing crisis through the creation of the CARES Behavioral Intervention Team. Since fall of 2022, the team has supported more than 1,000 students and has helped coordinate intervention, referrals, and follow-up support for those students. Training efforts in suicide prevention, threat assessment, and de-escalation have also increased our institutional capacity to identify and support students before situations might escalate further. Collectively, these efforts have improved access to services, accelerated intervention when students are struggling, and strengthened the support systems that exist. Research suggests that student success is often affected by factors that occur outside of the classroom. Food insecurity, transportation challenges, healthcare access, and other basic needs can become significant obstacles to academic achievement. To address these challenges, the college, through the food pantry, distributed more than 78,000 food items and secured over 47,000 in grant funding to support food security initiatives. The pantry currently serves approximately 150 to 200 individuals each month in the fall and spring semesters. Additional efforts include district-wide access to feminine hygiene products, assistance with SNAP and access enrollment, and connecting students with available safety and wellness resources. A critical component of this work has been community partnership development. I need to give a special thank you to Abe Villarreal, who has been instrumental in building some of those partnerships with us. Organizations such as Chiricahua Community Health, the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona, Pio Decimo Center, Walmart of Douglas, and Cruz Farms have helped expand our capacity far beyond what institutional resources alone could have provided. The results have been a reduction in non-academic barriers, increased access to essential resources, and stronger community support for our students. While direct services are, of course, important, long-term success requires creating a culture where wellness is embedded into the student experience. Since 2023, the college has hosted annual wellness fairs and ongoing awareness campaigns on both campuses. We have expanded alcohol and drug education efforts and increased opportunities for students and employees to engage with wellness programming. Institutionally, we established what was the student wellness manager position, which then evolved to the director of student wellness and advocacy, and now has evolved to the director of student success in order to more effectively serve the needs of both the college and the students. This created centralized leadership for wellness, behavioral intervention, advocacy, and student support initiatives, which has improved coordination amongst the departments and strengthened our ability to respond to student needs holistically. Several key lessons have emerged from this work. Students respond when outreach is proactive rather than reactive. Community partnerships significantly increased our effectiveness. Student feedback has consistently demonstrated the value of these services and the thankfulness of our students to provide them. And centralized leadership has improved coordination and outcomes across the institution as a whole. Looking forward, our priorities include being able to expand the wellness fairs into hopefully Wellness Week programming, growing the pantry operations in Sierra Vista as the need has started to increase there, maintaining access to mental health resources, and hopefully over the summer we have the plan to partner with institutional research to better assess program effectiveness and examine possible connections between these wellness interventions and student persistence, retention, and student success outcomes. Dr. Allen is currently having me put together the information that we need to share with institutional research in order to make those assessments. I'm happy to take any questions.
Yeah. First, I just commend you on this work. That is absolutely fantastic. And, you know, to be student-centric, that's to be student-centric for our students. So, you know, I think those programs are invaluable and great work. Just two quick questions. One is, how big is the behavioral intervention team, or what does that consist of?
So we strive to work off of the NBIDA model. NBIDA is a national organization that focuses on things such as behavioral intervention teams. They recommend not to have a team larger than 10. Our team, because it does vary over the semesters, currently consists of 9 members. And so the members are directors or lower. We try not to have deans or higher in there, just in case we need to take something up, you know, a notch. We're not going into any conflicts of interest or anything of that nature.
Cool. Then I guess last question, do you do anything with NAMI here?
I wish we could do more. We do a little bit. I've worked with them in the past, particularly back in 23 and 22 when they were a little bit more active. Just recently, we have started reaching out to them more as they now have another representative on campus. And so I would like to do more with them as long as they are available to do so.
Sure. Incredible. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Critical. Thank you.
Job. Thanks. Strategic plan roadmap. Janelle?
Mr. Chair, members of the board, Dr. Perry, college leaders, and guests. I'm happy to be here today to share our strategic plan roadmap for the 2027-2030 strategic plan. So the 2027-2030 strategic plan will serve as a living focus plan designed to guide institutional and instructional priorities while adapting to changing student, community, and workforce needs. The strategic plan will establish institutional direction and be student-centered, community-anchored, and future-ready. Once institutional priorities are identified, the educational master plan and facilities master plan will be developed in alignment with those priorities. This approach helps ensure that academic programming, facilities investments, and budget decisions are all connected to a shared institutional direction. Rather than operating as separate planning efforts, these plans will intentionally support one another and guide operational and financial decision-making over the next several years. So we've broken the planning process into 8 different phases. You can see we are currently in the first phase with today's meeting and announcement. I'll briefly discuss each phase.
The first phase focuses on preparing the institution for the planning process. This includes formally announcing it today at today's board meeting and launching it at convocation in August. During this phase, we will establish a cross-functional strategic think tank team to help guide and process the support engagement across the institution. We will also establish the planning structures for the educational master plan and facilities master plan so that the alignment can begin early in the process. The primary outcomes of this phase is a clear planning charge and a shared understanding of the process and expectations. The second phase centers on institutional analysis and stakeholder engagement. We will validate enrollment, completion, budget and workforce data while also reviewing the HLC findings and other institutional performance indicators. At the same time, we'll conduct engagement activities with students, faculty, staff, industry partners, and community stakeholders to better understand institutional strengths, challenges, and future opportunities. We will also begin collecting baseline information for the educational and facilities master plan, including space utilization, program demand, and facilities condition data. The outcomes of this phase will include an environmental scan summary and identification of key themes, strategic tensions, and institutional challenges. During phase three, the college will begin defining the core priorities that shape the strategic plan. The intent is to identify 3 to 4 strategic areas or initiatives that will guide institutional efforts over the next 3 years. For each area, we will establish measurable goals and success indicators to support accountability and progress tracking. We will also conduct alignment discussions to ensure proposed priorities fit institutional capacity, mission, and future direction. And by the end of this phase, we expect to have the finalized major strategic areas along with draft goals and outcome measures. In phase four, attention shifts from identifying priorities to developing implementation strategies. Each strategic area will have several actionable strategies, and we will assign executive ownership to support accountability and long-term follow-through. This phase also marks the formal launch of development work for the Educational Master Plan and Facilities Master Plan. The Educational Master Plan will focus on academic programming, delivery methods, and student pathways, while the Facilities Master Plan will focus on aligning physical space and future capital priorities with institutional needs. The primary outcome of this phase is a clear strategy framework supported by defined leadership responsibilities. Phase five focuses on drafting and reviewing the strategic plan. At this stage, the plan will be compiled into a near final document and shared for campus and community review. The purpose of this review process is to ensure that the plan is clear, aligned, realistic, and reflective of the institutional input gathered throughout the process. Work on the educational and facilities master plans will also continue during this period to maintain alignment across all planning efforts. By the end of this phase, we anticipate having a near final strategic plan and a concise executive summary prepared for broader communication. The final development stages focus on refinement, approval, and implementation preparation. During phase six, feedback will be incorporated, planning documents will be finalized, and funds will be allocated to strategic areas within the 27-28 budget. The strategic plan will be presented to the governing board for formal approval. And then phase seven focuses on implementation and public launch. The plan will officially launch on July 1st, aligning with the start of the fiscal year. Broader communication will begin during convocation and other college events. The final phase reflects the college's commitment to continuous improvement and ongoing assessment. Annual progress reviews will be conducted in coordination with budget development and institutional planning cycles. Dashboards and scorecards will be used to monitor progress and measure outcomes tied to strategic goals. A midpoint review during the second year will allow the institution to make adjustments if priorities or external conditions have changed. At the conclusion of the 3-year cycle, the college will complete a full evaluation and begin preparation for the next planning cycle. The overall outcome is intended to be a focused, adaptable strategic plan that remains aligned with academic priorities, facilities planning, and institutional resources. This roadmap outlines a collaborative and structured process for development of the college's next strategic plan. The approach emphasizes focused priorities, measurable outcomes, broad engagement, and alignment across strategic, academic, facilities, and budget planning. The goal is to create a practical and actionable framework that supports institutional decision-making and long-term sustainability. We will continue to provide updates as the planning process moves forward. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions you have.
Any questions?
No, great work. If I might, before Janelle leaves the podium there, a
couple of things that I want to mention. First is, within the strategic planning process, you may have noticed, or you didn't notice, is this cycle, we are not going to focus on the mission, vision, or values. Those are currently still focused, viable, and relevant to the work that we do here. So the plan is then probably in 2030, when we look at the strategic plan again and we look at any changes we need to make, would be to evaluate it at that point in time. The other thing that I want to mention is, so the facilities master plan. Now, again, this is our best thought is the process and how we envision it going. Just like we always claim to be flexible, nimble, this could change somewhat. So when we say, you know, August to September or whatever it may be, some of those timelines may change based on information we've got, more information that we need to gather, a variety of things, including the facilities master plan, which what will happen is we'll put out an RFP to a company that does this for a living, right? So they will start to gather that information and they'll have their own timeline. They'll work with us. So some of these things could take, they could be sooner, but they could take longer than we anticipate as well. I think the key is to make sure that we have alignment across the board in what we're doing for not only budgeting purposes, but make sure that that we are positioned well for relevance as we move forward. But I'd like to thank Janelle and her team for putting this together. We'll continue to build this out, make sure that the board has updated progress. And of course, there'll be opportunities to weigh in and do the SWOT analysis on a variety of times to make sure that we're heading in the right direction.
Thank you, Janelle. You know, it looks like this could be in front of us a year from now. That's awesome.
Okay, brings us to comments from governing board members.
I guess just to, you know, in the excellence that I see month after month here at Cochise College, you know, two more examples of that would extend to, as Dr. Perry said, the three different commencements were just absolutely outstanding. So Dr. Wants and the commencement committee, you all did just an absolutely fantastic job. Those went off without a hitch. You know, I would say great job. And then the budget, I think we should be absolutely bragging about the budget. What Dr. Davis and everybody, what you pulled off, where we, if I remember right, we did not raise general tuition. We did raise pay for the college. We absorbed what, you know, it's not, we don't know yet, but we have absorbed an anticipated lesser amount of state money. And to pull off that wonderful balanced budget where we also don't have to raise the tax levy at all, that is just incredible. So great work and keep it up.
Well, that's a hard one to follow. I would like to thank Crystal. It's been a heck of a ride. It's been a blast. Look forward to your next adventure. I know you're going to do well wherever you're going, whatever you're doing. I want pictures. Alligator actually is pretty tasty. We tried it a year ago.
It was good.
So it's been a heck of a ride. We're sure going to miss you. Kai, buckle up. Absolutely. Look forward to working with you as well. So welcome to the team. And with that, this meeting's adjourned. Thank you all.